The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday the 16th of February with me, Paul Andrews. The show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Look Associates Group. They'll be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and wellbeing at work. If you want to find out more about Look Associates, go to their website, www.lockassociates.co.uk. That's Lock, spelled L-O-C-H, lockassociates.co.uk. Huge thank you to them for supporting the Business Bunker Show. Just before the break, I read a tweet from Tracy Ferguson about shops that she'd noticed closing down in Strood High Street. Jules has been on. She said beauty, hair and hospitality are all really being hit so hard with COVID-19. And I was shocked. She was shocked, listeners, that our High Street Advanced Electrical are not considered essential. My washing machine is kaput. And in Whitstable, they do cookers, hobs, heating. It's all totally essential, but the shop can't open. Yeah, I think they can, surely they can do visits to repair or something, though. I would have thought that was essential. You can't buy a new one, obviously. Well, you can if you bought it online, but you just can't go into a shop to buy it. Anyway, thank you for that, Jules. It's her pet rant of this week. It's her local electrical shop. I don't know how she's busted her washing machine. I don't know what she's done to it. There you go. Anyway, do you know what? I think it's time that we spoke to another guest, because they're much more fun than listening to me rattle on. We caught up with Liz Nevitt, Jules and I. Liz runs a highly specialised recruitment company, and we first met Liz just over a year or so ago when she was launching the company, and we thought it was time that we had a catch up and found out exactly what was going on. So let's hear from Liz. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show Liz Nevitt of Dedicate Recruitment. Liz, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. It's lovely to see you again. I'm just trying to remember when you were last on.
I came on in November 2019.
Right, okay.
Yes.
And might have happened since then.
Quite a bit. Hello, guys. Thank you for having me on. It's lovely to be back again.
I just, first of all, for the listener, loving the lipstick, Liz. Very beautiful colour and a little stripy sort of Breton top, looking gorgeous.
Oh, and sorry, then... Liz. I'm sorry. I forgot to warn you that Jules is a Zoom stalker. In a minute, she will start discussing what is hanging on your walls.
Well, I was about to say that on the back it's very orderly, very neat. So I'm guessing you could be a Taurus.
Yeah.
That's... Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Liz, she's a witch. She's a witch.
You are?
Yeah, no, she's a witch. Yeah.
I have a little witchy thing about this, and I can see from your house at the back that you're very home-loving. Perhaps a little bit stubborn as well, but
and of course, Jules is two-faced.
I'm Gemini.
Gemini, yeah. Good communicator. Very good for the radio shows.
Very Gemini.
Anyway, back to what we were talking about. Liz, when you first came on in November 2019, you hadn't long launched your business. So just remind the listeners what your business is, and then if we may, I'd like to talk about your journey since then, and blimey, what a journey it's been.
Yeah, definitely. I set up Dedicate Recruitment, and we specialise in the supply of non-teaching support staff to schools in the southeast. There are some clients in the Midlands area, but more the southeast.
Right.
And it's from finance, HR to support staff, administration, everything that's non-teaching.
Right.
That was the deal. Yeah.
Okay. That's quite a niche, isn't it? That's a you've given us a real niche. So tell us why you chose that niche.
Well, I remember when I spoke to you about it initially with Paul, and Paul said that's a double niche because you're specialising in finance, HR, IT, and education. And I trained with Hayes a long time ago, so I've always been in financial recruitment, and then I moved into education about 15 years ago and loved the sector, loved the change, loved that move from commerce to a much more not ethical, but you know, a more valuable sector that I feel now that I've got kids myself. And I know finance and HR, and it's a very particular area, and they do have challenges trying to attract those kinds of staff in that niche. and it works really well.
And I don't know if it's still the same because I'm old and I've been around a long time, but there used to be a specific software product that schools use called Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's still around or whatever.
It is.
But okay, of course, so it wasn't just knowledge of finance. It was knowledge of schools finance that made it, a specific niche that was hard to find, if you like, because not only did you need people that knew finance and schools, but they had to know the Sims package too.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to work for Capita, and Capita rolled out that program for Sims in schools. So they were kind of like at the front end of that. So it's kind of good to be inside a company that knew it. So when I was like working in partnership with the schools, we knew exactly what that technology looked like. But yeah, it's very specific. You got PS Financials as well. So there's lots of, it's very specific. And so attracting those candidates and moving them around within the school sector is a challenge, but very, very rewarding in its own way.
Yeah. And do you do with all schools? So is it primary and secondary?
Primary, secondary, independent, higher education, further education, and also special, the FEN schools as well. Okay. So it's a broad spectrum.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you
and what about dinner ladies? They're also
dinner ladies.
They're hugely important, though, aren't they? I live next door to one, and she trundles out, dumps the children off really early, comes back home, has a swim in the sea, and then she goes and does her 2 hours of duty and then comes back. But of course she's a support worker, so her children are at school, which is great. So I know
is her name Victoria? Is it Victoria Wood?
No, it's not. I know where you're coming from.
Oh, right.
I'm now thinking of Mrs. Overall for some
reason.
Yeah. Is it on the trolley?
So do you deal with dinner ladies and things as well?
No, I don't cover dinner ladies, or it's more the central services staff. So all the kind of administration, IT premises. So with regards to like dinner ladies, invigilators, I don't cover that area. But then never say never. In this current climate, I'm taking on whatever there is, however I can support schools.
But I guess, Liz, a lot of things like that are outsourced by schools anyway, aren't they, to catering companies? So it wouldn't be the school hiring dinner ladies anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of schools have a really good network of their own as well. So, like, somebody knows somebody, especially with dinner ladies, they use local people.
Parents, which works really well.
Yeah.
Like the lollipop lady, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was at school, I tried to get my mum to apply to be a dinner lady so I could have seconds, but it didn't work.
The puddings, amazing. Yeah. So how is it changing for you now with this huge, you started off bright and breezy and then there's been this sort of pandemic that came
up? When I saw you guys, it was 5 months in the operation and
you were gung-ho.
And it's really exciting. It's like a new toy. Yeah, absolutely. And putting everything in place, it's very, very exciting. And the end of the first year, 2019, is a good end. Come to March, it just stopped. And I was just building my network and getting into that kind of networking zone as well, making really good contacts as well. And then it stopped. And we were all in the same boat. And we were like, what do we do? What happens? And the first thing that happened, conversations with schools changed in that I was really getting to know my clients. It wasn't a case of, hello, head teacher, what's your setup like? It's like, how are you? How are you coping? What's happening in your school?
Yeah.
What's happening with your staff? What have you put in with regards to mental health? And we were having some really amazing conversations.
Going into HR.
Yeah, getting to know the people behind those titles. And that was an absolute, I didn't enjoy it because of the situation we're put in.
Sure,
but the conversations coming out were completely, the quality, just much more people became more trusting of you quite quickly. We're all in the same boat and there's much more understanding.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that year started.
Mm. So basically you concentrated on relationship building. Which for a niche recruitment company is crucial. I mean, if you don't have a relationship within your industry with, enough players, then you really are just on the fringes, aren't you?
I found when sort of like applying that as well, having those people trust you more, and also because they were an independent, there's a lot of competition out there.
Mm.
And what happened also, because a lot of other recruiters were being made redundant or furloughed or saw how they were being treated, a lot of people left those big companies and started to set up independently. So there's a lot of competition.
Right.
but also the recruitment community came together. Like on LinkedIn, I've got lots of really great contacts, made new friends. It's like going to university in a way. It's like in your first year of uni, you go, oh, loads of new friends. And then you kind of like...
But without the shots.
Yeah. Without the fun, real fun stuff. Yeah. And then you sort of like you develop that circle of people you really trust, and people were giving services away for free. And I'm sure that you saw this as well, Paul, really, yeah. In your, like, on job boards, they were suspending fees for the year, not year, for 6 months, like Reed, CB Library, you know, like yourself, Jobs in Kent. And also, which made such a difference. And you remember how people treated you in that time, because we knew it was going to change and go back to almost how it was. And you remember who supported you and understood where you were, rather than being, we're going to operate as normal, be mercenary about this. So that was a difference.
That's quite heartening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It's but it's a very difficult situation, isn't it? Because, you know, every side of the equation is suffering. From a business point of view, because this isn't a normal business downturn. You know, in a normal business downturn, it's normally just one sector that suffers or one element that suffers. This was everybody. You know, so you're getting crazy stuff. Like for me, one of the things that impacted me is I have a very expensive office building.
Right.
And when we had to downsize and sadly make people redundant and get people working from home, I ended up with a 9,000 square feet office with two people in it. But you know, and you approach the landlord and they go, yeah, but it's my whole income. You know, so you've got both sides of the equation that says, yeah, but I can't afford it. And he goes, well, nor can I.
We've got this across the spectrum with small businesses, you know, hairdressers, beauty salons, all very similar, very, very scary times and redundancies, sadly.
Yeah. And so, you know, just on that, I mean, what we're waiting for now, without being too political, is someone in government to actually come up with some kind of plan, which so far they failed to do.
But then nobody knows, Paul.
At a point, you have to come up with a plan that has some kind of risk factor involved. And some kind of risk assessment that says, look, we're going to attempt to reopen in September or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Because until we know if that vaccine will stop transmission and spread, that's the thing. It may help the person that's had it, provided they get the second one. But will it still spread to others? This is the problem.
At some point, we have to do a risk assessment because I've seen people now talking about zero COVID, and that is nonsense. It is utter nonsense.
No, it will never go.
Exactly. Even smallpox, which we technically eradicated, still has outbreaks every year in very isolated places, but it's still there. Yeah, you will never have a zero virus ever.
Look at the flu strain. That every year, that's a different strain every year. Absolutely. That's why we have the vaccination.
And the vaccine's different every year. We have to do a slightly different vaccine every year. So basically, they need to work out a risk assessment that says, if we get it to this level, we'll take a chance on opening up. Because at the moment, we're all dying on our feet, not of the virus, but of economic lockdown. Anyway.
So, Liz, how has it affected, you know, you? I know that you've made relationships and you've told us that and the listeners that. But how is it actually affecting your business? Are you making any money?
Yes.
Are you managing?
Yes, but it went this in the summer. It was just it affected me as well personally. Like, you can't just keep going on and thinking and try. I'm a positive person, but it beat me. Like summer, I was coming down to my office and sitting here, and where I wasn't sort of winning deals, I was actually bursting into tears.
Yeah, of course. And you've got your children as well at home. Yeah,
They're homeschooling as well, like everybody else. They were all in the same boat, and it was just like, okay, this is tough. So I kind of sat one day, the final day, I came down and said, if I don't do something about this, the business is going to fail, and it's not going to fail. That's no option. So I pulled up my big pants and got back on it again, made those calls, got in. But what I did, I kind of like, my strategy was just too big. I felt like I was lurching all over the place, chasing where all the competitors were going and thinking and losing my own kind of brand and my own values and what I'm good at. And that's where I kind of got a bit diluted in. So I sat down, put a strategy together, and it's basically a case of getting to know sort of 20% of the market, 80% of my customers, that 80-20 scenario, really digging deep, really pulling back on that and being more intelligent about it. We had a really good end to 2020, and we had, because I was taking on sort of two or three positions with four or five schools, and I was very lucky I had that volume because they trust me, because we have that really good relationship, and going over and above for candidates and clients, and had a good start to this year. So I am very grateful for that. I'm very cautious about it. I'm really aware of how tenuous it can be as well. But those conversations, nurturing those clients, having that equal relationship, they're people too, was really good. That was a payback. They trust me, and they've come to me, and I'm really happy about that.
I think the point you raise there, Liz, is absolutely crucial, and it's such a human response, isn't it, that when we're faced with a massive dilemma, we panic a little bit, and we just go all over the place going, well, I need to make something happen somewhere, anything, you know,
lurching,
and you lurch from one thing to another.
Usually go and eat biscuits.
Yeah exactly. we all do that, but
plenty of those.
But the point that I want to bring out, because I think it's just such a valuable point that you made, Liz, is that it's a human tendency to just scattergun and hope that something comes in. You know, you sat there looking at your income and going, I haven't got anything. Yeah, I need something, anything. The problem with that is you lose all the integrity of the business. You lose any strategy you've got going. You're just all over the shop, and it's wearing and time consuming, and at the end of the day, not very productive.
No, it's you're placing your energy in a bad place. It's not like focused or proactive. And so what came out of that, I was thinking, well, I want to attract a really good education sort of forum. And so what I've been doing is setting up round tables,
right,
with regards to like four or five really good chief execs of trusts. So leaders within their field, having those conversations, and that has been brilliant. It's opened up my network, lots of referrals from that, and, you know, potential business down the line. But these are really good people to have, you know, in my tribe, and I love that.
Absolutely.
And you talked about your brand, Liz. So you said about how you've honed it. So tell us the three main advantages of using you.
Okay. Well, I've got 20 years of experience in recruitment of finance and HR. So I know exactly so I can cut to the chase straight away what people need with regards to recruitment. Education specialist, I know what that looks like as well, and what kind of people would fit within that culture as well. And I think also it's people can do the job. It's the person fit. When you've got a really good team, that is half the battle. And it's just, I know it's the obvious thing to say, I know that, but I'm not transactional, and a lot of us aren't transactional. It's all about getting that right person. It's about quality, not quantity. So if I shortlist somebody, a shortlist for a school, 9 times out of 10, it might be just 2 or 3 people, no more than that.
I'll tell you one of the things you said there that hit a point with me was understanding the culture of the customers you're dealing with. I think a lot of people that go into the recruitment business don't always understand that. You know, there's far too much computerized picking of CVs. You know, where a big agency will run all the CVs through an algorithm and go, well, they've got all the right things on their CV, we'll send the CVs off. A really good recruitment specialist knows their client and knows what kind of personalities will fit their client as well, what kind of culture will fit. Many years ago, I won't go into names, but many years ago, someone that I knew very well, a recruitment specialist in the city, had such an insight into the different clients that she had that she always made placements over anybody else, just because she understood that one particular investment bank, a very well-known investment bank, actually liked people that sailed.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Because the head of the bank was the head of the New York Yacht Club, and they were heavily into sailing. If anybody rocked up, there was a sailor. You were already halfway there. You know. So just knowing that culture, knowing the kind of fit of different businesses, is crucially important.
Absolutely, you chip away, and I've got a story like that as well. When I first joined Hays a long time ago, there was a HR director in charge of a big retail company. Would not like hated recruiters. She was a real tough cookie to crack, but she loved horse riding, and I found that out and chipped away in that, and we got a really good working relationship. So absolutely, it's that value that, you know, you've got some kind of connection, anything that can hook you in with that client, that makes such a difference.
And absolutely, people remember you because you have a connection, and you're giving a very, very personal service.
And it also shows how aware you are of actual skills and personalities. Opposed to just, you know, running through an algorithm that says, have you got, you know, 2 years finance, have you got this, have you got that? When I talk about things like that, it makes me smile. Many years ago, I was a systems programmer, and I went for a job. I was a VTAM systems programmer, and I went for a job, and the job advert and the agents that were hiring for it said, you need at least 5 years experience of VTAM. I mean, it's not possible. And I said, pardon? I said, it's not possible. You can't have 5 years experience. It only came out 3 years ago.
Brilliant.
I didn't get a job. They thought I was being difficult, but that was true.
You were right. But I was going to say, part of that as well, you, with experience, and I appreciate, like, a new person coming into recruitment, say 6 months, 2 years experience, that's quite transactional. There's very much AI involved in their processes, whereas I've got so much years experience, I push back on clients. So if they say, this is somebody I want, I'll say you won't get that person because of this, this, and this. It's having the confidence and the knowledge to be able to do that, and really kind of like teach each other, to educate each other.
Okay. Yeah. Where we are now with the pandemic, most schools are shut to some degree or another. People are teaching online, and I know you don't handle the teaching side of it, but do you see that? When this starts to unwind and we start to go back, do you see that there might be other areas that will be recruited? What I'm thinking of here is
Zoom experts.
Sorry?
Yeah, tech.
Zoom experts and Teams experts.
Well, there's two or three elements here. Mm. There's will we retain an element of online teaching? And if so, will that require technical expertise in each school? Mm. There's also the security aspects of it. So for instance, I do a program called 30-30, which is a careers program that we provide free for schools. We tried to take that online to do it, and it was a nightmare. It was a logistical safety nightmare, because all the schools were going, all our kids are at home, we can't manage who they're talking to here. You're bringing people in from outside to talk to them. You know, on Teams, we can manage that within our school environment. We can't manage that in a public environment. So they wouldn't do it. Yeah, understandably. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. That's quite right. I'm just wondering if there's going to be, when you come back, I mean, the government are already talking about mandatory testing of people on a regular basis. So a lot of health and safety issues.
And let's face it, now we have the snow, many, many schools would have been closed anyway. This homeschooling thing is going to be an ongoing thing, I would think.
Yeah.
Well, I see the kind of receiving end of it, because my two boys are at secondary school, and they're homeschooling as well, and it's working very, very well.
How old are they?
Year 7 and year 9.
Which is?
So 12 and 14.
Okay, well, that's good for boys to be like that, because I think boys are slightly harder sometimes. Girls tend to knuckle down, I've heard.
Well, I have to say, I've been very lucky. They're doing really well, and the teachers are working doubly hard, because when they're obviously you're on a Zoom call or a Teams, you've got to project yourself even more, haven't you?
Sure.
Yeah. And they want the kids to be engaged in it. So but great lessons, and I get to join in their virtual assembly as well, which I wouldn't have done if I was in the if they were at school, which is lovely to see. So that's worked really well. But it's the social aspect as well. When the kids go back to school, whenever that will be, and there's a lot of tech poverty around as well, yeah, where their kids yeah. don't have that access. Mm. And don't, like, you've got families probably just sharing a phone, one phone to access information. Yeah. And it's just very, very difficult. Has been a challenge in itself. So when the, I think schools are always looking at their IT side, they're always looking to improve that tech as well, to be able to support those families and also make sure that their teachers are delivering as well as in a good sort of frame of mind as well. Because we had feedback from our school saying when the kids join in, like even in form sessions, can they say, good morning, sir, how are you? Because sometimes the kids don't say anything and the teachers feel like they're on their own and there's nobody there on the other side. So, so much to think about. But tech has been absolutely, streamlined, pared back, improved in so many ways. And so there are people that have made lots of money out of this compared to businesses that have been not bad.
Sure. And just following up on my question, do you think there will be new job roles in the admin and support functions of schools coming along, looking at a lot of these issues?
More IT techie.
Yeah, there's a lot of tech. A lot of schools have been recruiting new IT managers because I think they've seen how inadequate their current setup is at the moment. So that's been a bit of a change. Yeah. But also audit. A lot of audit work has gone on because compliance, because this is all new, very active situation.
Yeah.
And that's been at the forefront as well. So it's been streamlined.
Cool. No, absolutely. And it's like anything, isn't it? Anything that happens, any major change in our lives, in society, has drawbacks and opportunities. And, in some respects, there will be opportunities, there will be new job roles created, there will be new things that people go and do. And as we've all discussed, I think one of the things is that we won't go back 100% to what we were doing before. There'll be hybrid things that have worked while we're here. When we talk about the events industry, for instance, the event industry has gone online completely because it had to. They've invested a lot of money in technology. They're not going to throw all that away when we can go back. What you're going to see is hybrid events, which are part physical and part online, as far as I can see.
And again, if someone pre-COVID had organised an event this week in Canterbury, nobody would have gone because the roads are impassable.
Yeah.
So back to your tech again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will be the new way if we get bad weather or whatever.
Yeah.
Can still go ahead, can't it? And also the schools I was speaking to, where they've got trust, like Multi Academy Trust, they have like a central services team. Those people have been working from home and they found it much more productive with regards to the hours that they're not commuting to the office, like you said about the physical side. And it's been much more kind of a positive experience where they've supported each other. And they've also got to know each other much more personally as well, which has, strengthened their relationships.
Yeah.
But they have kind of seen, well, how can we improve on this and how is this going to change moving forward? So when everyone does go back, they're still going to rotate it. Well, they will be working from home and working in the office as well.
Liz, it's been an absolute pleasure to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Business Bunker Show. It's always a delight to see you. If people want to find out more about Dedicate Recruitment, what's your website?
Our website is www.dedicaterecruitment.co.uk.
Fantastic. Liz, stay safe. It's lovely to see you and we'll see you again soon.
And she's Thank a Taurus. She's a Taurus, you know. Bye, Liz.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. A fantastic interview with Liz Nevitt of Dedicate Recruitment, talking about all the opportunities in non-teaching jobs in the education sector and how things are going to change and hybridise and be different going forward, even if when maybe we return to some kind of normality. And talking about normality, how about this for abnormality? I've just been made aware of a breaking story, and I am staggered by this. I just don't know what to say. The Revival Cafe, Cafe Revival, based at the Horsebridge Centre in Whitstable, has been evicted by the Horsebridge Centre. We have no idea why they've been evicted. They have a lease, they've paid, and they continue to pay. Let me just tell you a little bit about the Cafe Revival. Revival Kent is their Twitter handle. They're a social enterprise charity cafe, and they're run by East Kent Mind. And it's an inclusive space raising mental health awareness and developing local services for people with mental health issues. It's based at the Horsebridge Centre in Whitstable, and they've just been served an eviction notice. That is unbelievable. At a time when mental health issues are at the forefront, because we've spent a year destroying the economy, destroying people's lives, locking people down, and people suffering from a pandemic, to actually shut a resource for who knows why is unbelievable. I'm staggered. I am staggered by what's going on here. And I'd love to find out why the Horsebridge think they need to do this. But there's a petition on Change Organisation to get them to try and change their mind. The best way to find the petition is to follow Cafe Revival. Their Twitter handle is Revival Kent. Do give them a follow on Twitter. You can find the tweet with their link to their petition. To sign it. A big thank you to Jonathan Mowat Dykes of Tri-State Clothing for bringing that to my attention. Extraordinary story, absolutely extraordinary. Wow, who knows why people do these kind of things. Anyway, back to where we were. There's a few things I need to tell you about. Mid-Kent College have an online open event, and it's live on Wednesday the 10th of March. The registration is now open. There's question and answer webinars, there's a catch-up, there's a live chat for your questions, there's application support advice, student financing and learning support advice, and they say we're looking forward to virtually meeting you, and you can register for that event by going to www.midkent.ac.uk/news open days. That's midkent.ac.uk/news open days. So do check that out if you're thinking about going to college in the Mid-Kent area. Okay, I managed to catch up with Jules for a Zoom catch-up. Let's hear what the Whitstable housewife had to say.
It's good to catch up with Jules again. Hello, my dear. How are you?
Yeah, I've been sledging, skiing, building snowman.
Have you?
What about you?
Nothing. I've been stuck indoors.
Oh, it's like Eeyore. It's like Eeyore intended. And I did hear that you went out in your pyjamas the other day, though.
Yeah, I went to Tesco's last night in my gym jams.
Did you wear those open-toe mules?
No, I didn't. Luckily, I had my Crocs on.
Are they the real Crocs, or are they the sort of imposter?
No, they're pretend Crocs. They're the ones without the holes in.
Yeah, because our local one, George's Mini Mart, has pretend Crocs for about £3, and they're great. We slip them on and off all the time.
Well, I have a pair by the back door, just for nipping out to put the bins out and stuff.
Clogs are great, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're waterproof, so... Anyway, I mean, I'm so used to hanging around in gym jams and joggers and all the rest of it that I had to pop to the shops last night because I ran out of bread. And I popped out quickly just before they shut. And when I got there, I realised I was still dressed in my gym jams.
And nobody batted an eyelid.
No. Everyone else was in their 90s. So it was fine.
And that was just the store manager.
Yeah. It was very Walmart. It was. But luckily, I had my mask on, so no one recognised me.
Did you get a few more rashers of bacon? Because that bacon sandwich you did, listener, no butter. Yeah. And then B, just two little measly rashers in it.
Well, I didn't have any more bacon left. That was the problem. And I never had butter on my sandwiches.
Do you not? What, have you never?
No, I don't have butter on toast either. I just had marmalade.
Okay, because the whole point for me is, you know, as I said in my tweet, is how the butter sort of melts into the toast.
No, but it's the fat from the bacon that melts into the bread.
Yeah, yeah. If you grill your bacon, though, do you pour a little bit of fat onto it?
No, I don't grill my bacon. I put it in a frying pan.
Oh, you fry it. Okay, old school. Fine, I grill my bacon, you see.
Yeah, no, no. I don't really fry it because I don't put oil in the pan. I just put the bacon in the pan, in a non-stick pan. Yeah. And then the oil comes out of the bacon and you put the bacon and the oil on the bread.
I fancy one now, don't you, all this chat?
Well, I'll tell you what I actually bought. I didn't actually buy bacon. I bought smoked salmon and bagels.
Oh, yeah. Do you have cream cheese with it?
I had cream cheese, smoked salmon and bagels for breakfast this morning.
You see, my new husband would absolutely love that. He absolutely would love a bagel. I must go out and get him some, only I could. Actually, the sun's just come out here, which is really, really nice. The highlight of my week, Paul Andrews, has been the internet sensation of the lawyers with the...
with the pussycat.
Cat filter, which was just so... Because he was so earnest and they were so sensible. And then I didn't realise that those filters, the eyes that move and the head moves, so it was his expressions.
Yeah.
And I've watched it about 85 times I just crack up.
Do you know what? I think it ought to be mandatory that all legal proceedings now are done with cat filters. I think it would just make the law so much better, wouldn't it?
And he was in Texas as well. He had that lovely Texas accent.
And what made it even funnier was the opposing attorney never blinked. He just sat there passively going, you know, hang yourself, mate, just hang yourself.
Actually, if you watch at the end, he stifles a laugh when the guy goes, I am alive, I am not a cat. It made the BBC 6 p.m. news last night.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it was funny as anything. It was really funny.
And I think all meetings should now be like that, as you said.
Yeah.
So the snow has affected you, I guess, out there.
We got a lot. It snowed again last night. Have you got an email to read?
Not really. Hang on.
Okay. Don't worry then.
I'll have to look.
We haven't got time.
Okay, you carry on talking and I can find one.
Okay. Well,
One of your dulcet ones.
Yeah, no, I could have read one. No, I don't want to talk to you. There's been some funny stuff going on just recently and lots of interesting memes on social media.
I don't really know what a meme is. I have no idea what a meme is. I'm sure I've seen one.
It's a story or it's like the cat filter is a meme now. Everybody's doing cat filters. So basically you doctor the video that says, you know, I'm a cat, and you use it in a different context.
That is a meme, a meow meme. Well, did you know, Paul, that there's a Kent company and it's doing its bit, I love this story, it's doing its bit to save the world's oceans by vaporising tons of plastic.
Right.
And microplastics are a big problem, as you know, for the environment, with many trillions of minuscule particles floating in our oceans and killing marine life and threatening our health. So Tunbridge-based startup QM Recycled Energy has a solution, and it's feeding shredded plastic into a giant heater and turning it back into the oil it was made from originally. And the technique uses a method called pyrolysis, now there's a word, to break down the long polymers found in plastics. And QMRE, that is QM Recycled Energy, that's what they're called, QMRE, their container size machine is nicknamed Marie and can process up to a ton of unsorted plastic waste every day, heating it in a thermal kettle up to 400 centigrade to break it down. And the result is a carbon ash and a heavy duty fuel oil suitable for use by shipping or heavy industry. I'm going to pass that on to one of our clients, Inatec, the shipping company, because that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm following a story at the moment as well, where a Kent company is using plastic to put on roads. to fill potholes and things like that.
Oh, that would be good. So would that be slippery in ice, though, plastic?
No, well, they've integrated it with...
Oh, yeah, bits of grit and stuff.
Yeah, well, so they've made a road surface material that's very hard wearing, but it's made out of recycled plastic.
That would be great. It might be quieter as well.
Yeah, so there's lots of good innovative things happening around renewables and around eco-friendly products and services. So, I think... Well, you're going to see more and more of those kind of inventions over the next few years.
A plastic bubble, Paul Andrews, has been designed to give stargazers the chance to admire the night sky from the comfort of their bed. Mm. Sounds good to me. And it's been erected...
Go on.
Can we say that on air?
Yeah, go on.
Erected in the grounds of a new hotel. I don't even know about this hotel. Hotel Lush.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Hotel Lush?
I have, yeah.
Oh, I haven't. It's set to take its first bookings once coronavirus restrictions are eased. God, what a time to open a hotel. Mm. After the Nunnery Field site is taken over by new owners in August. Where is Nunnery Fields?
It's actually the next road to where my son lives, Jamie.
Oh, okay. So by the cricket ground?
Yeah, behind the cricket ground, yeah.
Okay. All right. So near Simon Langton.
Yeah. It's between the cricket ground and Simon Langton School, off the old Dover Road.
Okay. So, formerly Kipps Hotel, which I didn't know either, the building will be kitted out with 10 rooms, so it's a boutique hotel, and run a self-check-in service. How very oriental.
Yeah.
Bosses think that the £150 a night pod situated outside could be its most popular feature. And the director is Kyle Dawson, and he told Kent Online it's the next level up from glamping. People like glamping, but they don't like getting muddy, especially if they haven't got Wellingtons.
Yeah,
sharing a shower, no, or being in the cold. So we've got something that mitigates against that.
Right.
Half of the pod has a clear view of the sky, and the other half is white plastic. So we've equipped the bubble with a projector that allows them to watch TV inside. We have a telescope in there, so guests can do stargazing in the bubble.
Right.
And they can actually look at the stars while they're laying in bed. I like that. That's great. That's very David Attenborough, isn't it?
Yeah, so interesting, isn't it?
Actually, it's not David Attenborough that looks at stars. Who is
no,
it?
No.
Patrick, what's his name?
It was Patrick Moore, but he passed away a long time ago.
I know, but we're quite elderly, aren't we?
Yeah. No, it's interesting, isn't it? Completely different take on something. Yeah.
I might get in touch with old Kyle Dawson and have a natter about Lush, Hotel Lush.
Yeah.
And it is true about camping, because I always say it's a little bit, you know, when you have to share showers in the morning, I'm not that mad on hearing everybody burping and that in the morning.
Sure.
There's a Microsoft Word training session with our friend Alex Waterton, and he's going to be providing a 4-day interactive training course, which is aimed at providing staff with top tips and tricks to get the most out of Microsoft Word. And the course is free for up to 2 members of your staff, and it'll take place live alongside other attendees, allowing attendees to ask questions during the session. It's free, as I said, for up to 2 members of staff. If you have additional staff, it'll be charged at just £80 a person, and that's for 4 days exclusive training course with Microsoft certified Alex Waterton. And for existing ADM clients, please contact your account manager for further information. If you'd like to provide this training service to your customers, or you're interested in personalised and additional large-scale staff training, please contact, and this is an email, and it's, it'll be on the Kent Business website. It's a long, long email.
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
You'll go on the link there.
Yeah.
But it's, the location is online, obviously, at the moment, Feb. And you can also book your place by emailing penelope.mak@adm-computing.co.uk. And you can also go and find out about F-Keys by going to f-keys.co.uk and have a look there, and you'll find how brilliant they all are.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Listen, we're running out of time. So, as always, I've got to say goodbye. It's lovely to talk to you very briefly again.
Yeah.
What are you up to next week?
Sledging, probably. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I've got some stuff to do this week, and then sledging, and then I've ordered a little fish platter for Valentine's.
Oh, lovely.
But the bad news is I've got to pick it up in Westgate, which is miles away, on Sunday.
What you got on it?
Oh, everything. Little love things, you know. I don't know.
Little love things.
Pincery things, lobsters and, you know, little heart-shaped things.
Oh, lovely.
It's a fish platter for two. But it's Westgate, as I said, so I don't know if I'll be able to collect it on Sunday. We'll see what the snow does.
Okay. Anyway, have a great week. Lovely to chat.
So that was abruptly ended. Sorry, we ran out of time. That was my catch up with Jules. It'll be nice for us to get back in the studio and have both of us here. So hopefully we can do that fairly soon. Allegedly, it's rumoured that schools would reopen again on March the 8th. So let's hope that they start to unwind lockdowns from then onwards. Okay, it's now time to catch up with the Federation of Small Business News.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
There's a new FSB app for your phone. With the new app, we're by your side wherever you are. Manage your membership on your mobile, access your benefits and find out what's happening near you. It's never been easier to make the most of FSB. Simply kick on the Apple App Store button if you're an iPhone user, or the Google Play Store if you're an Android phone, and download the FSB app. It's well worth a look. Do check it out. I'm going to give you some events now, and at the end of these events I'll give you the link where you can go and find out about all of them, and you can book whichever ones you want. Government contracts, they're for small businesses as well, you know. So there's a webinar, Learn Where to Start. It's taking place on Wednesday the 24th of February from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Want to know more about obtaining public sector contracts? Join Tim Ward, Director of Opportunity, for a clear breakdown of what this involves. Leave this webinar with new knowledge on how your company can bid for all kinds of public sector contracts and thrive in these unpredictable times. So that's Bidding for Government Contracts for Small Businesses, Wednesday the 24th of February, 12 noon to 1 p.m. There's an International Women's Day celebration on Thursday the 18th of March, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Celebrate International Women's Day with us and keynote speakers as we seek to understand how COVID-19 has impacted specifically on female entrepreneurs. Hear about the steps they've taken to steer their firms through changing business restrictions and unexpected personal challenges. So that's International Women's Day celebration, Thursday the 18th of March. There's Women in Business Brunch on Thursday the 25th of February, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of The Holistic Home. So Women in Business Brunch, Thursday the 25th of February. And there's a webinar, Learn About the Pros and Cons of Selling in Online Marketplaces such as Amazon, eBay and Etsy. That's taking place tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 17th of February, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Learn about the pros and cons of selling online to grow your direct-to-consumer sales. This webinar will be of interest to small businesses looking to take advantage of the trend towards online selling. All of those events, webinars, can be found and booked by going to kempisradio.co.uk/FSB or bizradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab. You'll find them all there under the FSB events, and you can there's booking links for all of them so that you can book there. And likewise, you can book your Membership Matters event, which is taking place on Wednesday the 24th of February, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Find out what the FSB Kent are doing locally and understand about the benefits of FSB membership to ensure you're getting all the help you can, as well as networking with other small businesses. So that's FSB Kent, Wednesday the 24th of February, 11 a.m. you can explore the FSB Legal Hub. The Legal Hub enables you to browse over 1,100 documents, fact sheets and templates covering a host of categories. It's available 24/7. It covers HR, debt recovery, health and safety, cyber security and so much more. There's also a wealth of helpful resources and documents relating to COVID-19. To access the Hub, simply log in to fsb.org.uk and click through from the dashboard into the Hub. So fsb.org.uk, click through to the dashboard, have a look at the Legal Hub. You can also stay compliant with workplace pensions. As an employer, it's your responsibility to ensure a compliant workplace pension is in place for all eligible employees. Even if you're the only, even if you only employ one person, you're still responsible for making sure that they have a pension scheme set up and that you carry out your duties. Failure to do so can result in fines, so it pays to stay up to date. Be proactive about your pensions with our top tips on compliance. If you want to find out all about workplace pensions and some tips on how to be compliant, if you go to fsb.org.uk/resources page, how to stay compliant. fsb.org.uk/resources page, how to stay compliant. Do check that out. I was talking about mental health earlier and the Revivals Cafe at the Horsbury Centre that have been evicted, that's been run by East Kent Mine, and mental health and mental health issues are at the very top of the agenda at the moment. Some horrendous figures on the effects of mental health on society in the UK during this pandemic, during the lockdowns. So always remember, you're not alone. Looking after our mental health and well-being is important. The FSB have a free guide that you can download, plus they also have a care hub where you can go to get help, support and care. The best way to look for this is to go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB care, and then there's links from there to all the various care hubs and downloadable resources to help manage with your well-being. So do check that out. At the end of 2020, the FSB Policy Group conducted a study of 4,000 small businesses, and they found that 62% of them were subject to late or frozen payments due to COVID-19. And they're saying this number may be even higher now. Listen, we know things are difficult. Everybody's struggling. But really, if you can, please make your payments, because it's a domino effect, isn't it? If you don't pay me, I can't pay them. They can't pay them. They can't pay them. And we all crash. So if you can at all pay, please. We need to unjam the logjam, as it were. There's been a court case, and it could herald some good news for some people. Some businesses should be covered by their insurance for losses caused by coronavirus lockdowns. The UK Supreme Court has ruled in a test case brought by the industry regulator against major insurance companies. Small businesses have warned that they face ruin after attempts to claim compensation for business losses during the pandemic were rejected by insurers. Six of the world's largest commercial insurers, Hiscox, RSA, QBE, Argenta, Arch and MS Amlin, said many business interruption policies did not cover widespread disruption after the UK's first national lockdown last March. But senior judges said many payouts should be triggered after scrutinising non-damage insurance policy clauses, which cover disease, denial of access to business premises and hybrid clauses. The Financial Conduct Authority, the FCA, said it would be working with insurers to ensure they quickly settle claims they were now required to pay and to make interim payments whilst that was ongoing. So that's some good news. If your business was prevented from a legitimate claim for loss of business on your insurance policy, you may now be entitled to claim for it and for an interim payment whilst that is going on. Okay, I've got a couple more bits of news to share with you. McIntyre Hudson, the accounting firm, the long-anticipated extension of the new IR 35 rules into the private sector will start on the 6th of April 2021. These major employment tax changes will affect any medium or large-sized businesses who engage individuals through personal service companies. These end clients will have significant new obligations to assess the employment tax status of personal service company contractors who work for them and to operate PAYE, NIC, National Insurance, accordingly. Experience suggests that businesses in the private sector will need all the time available to them to prepare for the changes given the potential challenges around labour supply, business continuity, liabilities, interest and penalties. So there's a webinar. Please join the MHA IR35 specialists on the 25th of February to hear how the new rules will work, how they'll affect your business, and consider what you should be doing now to ensure that your business is compliant. To find out about that, go to mcintyrehudson.co.uk/events. And do you know what? That brings us to the end of another Business Bunker show for another week. Hopefully soon we'll have some good news on the ending of lockdowns and some kind of return to normality. But in the meantime, please stay safe, everybody. Thank you so much for joining in. Thank you for your support. We'll be back with another Business Bunker show next week. We'll see you all soon. Take care.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.